Welcome to Books vs. Movies, the podcast where I set out to answer the age-old question, is the book really always better than the movie? My name is Yuvia. I'm an actress and book lover based out of the New York City area. And tonight, I will be talking about A Monster Calls by Patrick Ness and its 2016 adaptation starring Lewis McDougall and Sigourney Weaver. All right, so I am going to tell you right now, this is the shortest episode of this podcast. I'm barely recording it, but I know that this is going to be the shortest episode I have ever done. And that's just because there's not a whole lot to say about A Monster Calls. So we'll get into why. We will definitely get into why. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started. A Monster Calls by Patrick Ness was first published in 2011, and it follows Connor. Connor is a 12-year-old boy who has been having the same dream every night ever since his mom got sick. Not only has his mom gotten sick, but she's been trying all sorts of treatments that don't seem to be working. When we meet Connor, he's having this dream as usual, but unlike most nights, he awakens to find a monster. This is a tree monster that promises to help him with everything that's going on in his life. The tree monster will tell Connor three stories, and in exchange, Connor has to tell him one final story before the monster can leave. Unfortunately, the story that the monster wants Connor to tell requires him to face what the dream he dreams every night is ultimately telling him. The movie, A Monster Calls, was adapted in 2016. It's rated PG-13, and it follows Connor, who is a 12-year-old boy who encounters a tree monster. This tree monster sets out to help him cope with his mother's terminal illness and the bullies that Connor is encountering at school. So, I mean, the film was a really faithful adaptation to the book. There isn't really much to add on to that. There are some differences. The biggest difference is we see in the book, Connor's mom has a best friend who has a daughter his age. I think they're in the same grade. They're in the same class at school. And she has a much larger role in the book. And in the movie, this little girl isn't featured at all. I'm not saying she doesn't exist, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't exist. She's never mentioned. She might be shown as like a background character, but she is not like a character in the film. So that's definitely the biggest thing. She's there as Connor gets bullied. She stands up for him and he lies, and she tells the teacher Connor's being bullied, that those are the bullies, and Connor lies and says, no, they weren't bullying me, we were getting along just fine. And so like the daughter gets in trouble for lying and she gets very upset with him, but it's one of those things that like she's very mad at him, but she, you know, the next day when she sees him at school, the next day she's like, I don't like that you got me in trouble, but my mom says I have to keep being nice to you because of what's going on with your mom. And yeah, it's just one of those things that doesn't make Connor too happy to hear. So yeah, she is not present in the film at all. And then the other major change is the ending. Spoiler alert, kind of. It's a spoiler alert, but this is about a little boy coping with his mother's terminal illness. This, I think you can probably guess that this does not have a happy ending. And so at the end of the film, we kind of see a glimpse of Connor moving in with his grandmother. And I mean, we don't get much of a glimpse. It's literally just, you know, him moving in and she's telling him, you can move into your mom's old room. And if you want, she has not altered her child's room in any shape, way, or form since Connor's mom moved out. Which, side note, that makes sense to me. Because, like, when I think about, like Toy Story 3, for example, or a lot of, like, movies in which a white child specifically turns 18 and they have to move out of the house, the amount of like movies, again, specifically with white characters, in which Toy Story 3 is the one that comes to mind the most. I think that's just the one I've seen the most recently. But like Andy's going to college and his mom clears out his room. It's like Connor. It's like Andy is like, why are you getting rid of literally everything? Are you not expecting, is Andy not allowed to come home for the holidays? Is Andy not allowed to, I don't know, like, where's he gonna stay when he comes home for Christmas and all of that? That just like so mind boggling to me. When my brother moved out, we kept his room. He went to school in Florida and he had his room. Like my dad changed it a little bit, but my brother still had a bed. He still had the clothes that he left behind. And I've moved out of my parents' home 6 years ago now. Wow, 6 years ago. And it's been 6 years since I moved out. I married. My parents have since moved out of my childhood home into a brand new house. And I still have my bedroom looks like in their new house looks like the bedroom I had at my childhood home. The only difference is that now I just have a bigger bed because I'm married. So, you know, but otherwise, this is a very strange rant. Like I said, this is going to be a short episode, so I have time to rant. But that just, I'm just thinking about how, you know, Connor's grandmother did not change her daughter's room after her daughter moved out, which is like, isn't that kind of what you're supposed to do? Like, I understand if, you know, like now my brother doesn't have a room in my parents' house anymore, which makes sense because he has his own house that he lives in. So they don't need to have a room for him anymore. But that took a long time before they reached the point where they got rid of his stuff. And even then, they didn't really get rid of it. They gave it to my brother to put into his new house to serve as a guest room. But it's not like as soon as my brother and I moved out, there was like no semblance that we had never lived there. So yes, just thinking about that reminded me of Andy's mom and how, anyway, yes. So it makes perfect sense. We see her say, you can have your mom's old room. So Connor goes in and he starts looking around at his mother's childhood room, and he finds a picture that his mom was an artist. He finds a picture that his mom drew as a little girl, and he realizes that his mom possibly met the same monster that helped him cope with what was going on in their lives. So yeah, that's how the film ends. The book ends with Connor hugging his mom as she reaches the end, and you know, he's finally, you know, it's a very, very sad, emotional ending in the book. But like I said, that's where it ends. He hugs his mom and he tells her goodbye. They say goodbye, like the grandma and Connor both say bye to the mom, and they stay with her. In her final moments, he's just hugging her, and as he looks up, he sees the time on the clock, which is the time that the monster appears to him every time that the monster appears. And it's kind of implied that the time the monster usually appeared to Connor is the time that his mom took her last breath. And that's the last image we see, is Connor looking at the clock, hugging his mom, and that's the end. So I can see why they made that change for the film. Obviously, it's very, very sad ending, and it makes, as weird as it is to say, considering how emotionally sad it is, it makes perfect sense for the book to end where it does. It's a heartbreaking ending. It's really sad, but really, really beautiful, because we've been on this journey with Connor from the beginning. And in the film, like, that would, I think it makes sense in the film to alter that ending to kind of give us a little bit of hope that Connor will be okay, especially since Connor and his grandmother do not get along. So we get a glimpse of like, they didn't get along, but they're gonna be okay. Things are going to work out between the two of them. So we kind of get that little sense of closure in the film. We get it in the book. It's just visually, it adds more of a closure for the visual media that we don't necessarily need in print. So Patrick Ness, the author, so that this idea was originally started by author Siobhan Dowd. This was her idea. This was a book that an idea she wanted to bring her life. She sadly lost her life to cancer. And so when she died, Patrick Ness was approached to bring this idea to life, and he wasn't sure that he wanted to, because it's such a heavy topic and he really wanted to do it justice. And it just, the idea came to him, like how he can bring it to life and be respectful and everything. And he took it on. And I think he did an absolute beautiful job. The book is very, very short. It's a middle grade book. So there, it's a lot of illustrations. It's only about 210 pages around there, but it's not like a regular novel where words are there printed from the top of, to the bottom of the page. There's a lot of blank space, and that blank space is taken up by the illustrations in the book, which the illustrations are absolutely gorgeous. They are beautiful, and it really helps tell the story. And I really like that in the film, it was obvious that the stories the monster tells, they brought the stories to life through animation. And it's very obvious that the animators were inspired by the illustrations in the book, and they use kind of that same art style. The pictures in the book are in black and white, but they added color to that for the film. But it's the animation in the film is also absolutely gorgeous. So yeah, I mean, I really don't have much else to say other than that. I thought the book and the film were both absolutely beautiful. And you know, a friend of mine lost his father to cancer, and this was a difficult film for him to watch. He liked it, he enjoyed it, but it was just a difficult film for him to watch. So just know that if you lost someone to a terminal illness, this might be a difficult film for you to watch, and this might be a difficult book for you to read. But I have nothing but good things to say about both. It's absolutely beautiful. They both made me cry. They both made me cry a lot. And I mentioned this when I was talking about when I reviewed A Man Called Uwe. Books, for whatever reason, they make me feel a lot of things, but I don't have a lot of visceral reactions to books. I feel all the feels, but books very rarely make me cry. They very rarely make me laugh out loud. I think they're funny. I think they're sad, but for whatever reason, reading doesn't necessarily transform those feelings into like tears or like laughs. I don't know why, but this is one of the few books that actually made me cry, because that ending was just so beautiful and perfect, even though it was so incredibly heartbreaking and sad. Yeah, I think both the book and the film are worth reading and watching, respectively. I rated the book 4 stars and I rated the movie 4 stars. So, much like Just Mercy, which I rated in a tie, this is going to have to be another tie for me as well. I can't choose between the two. The film is just such a faithful, faithful adaptation. I mean, like I talked about two differences, you know, so there really isn't much to say. Felicity Jones as the mother she's great. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a role Felicity Jones can't do. She was fantastic. Gourney Weaver as the grandma and Louis McDougall as Connor. They just portrayed everything. Like, even when there was absolutely no dialogue, you could sense and feel everything that they were feeling and everything that was going on in their heads. And it was just, it's a perfect adaptation, or near perfect adaptation, I would say. So yeah, I can't choose between one or the other. They're both great. And I recommend you check them out. And I apologize for my rant about Andy's mom, but it just does not compute. I'm sorry, but like, that is just such a foreign concept to me of like, oh, you're moving to college, let's get rid of everything in your bedroom. Okay, I guess. I mean, maybe Andy's mom has like a guest bedroom where he can stay, but that is just such a foreign concept to me, because like, and my parents could never know. It's just such a foreign concept to me. So I really appreciated that that this isn't, I think the grandma in the book might have gotten rid of the mom's room because Connor stays over at some point, but she doesn't say like stay in your mom's old room or whatever, but she does that. So I appreciate that at least in the book, it's not as important a detail because it's just a non-issue in the book, but at least in the film, I appreciate that the grandma kept the mom's room. It's just a rant I had to get off my chest. Anyway, thank you for listening in. And next episode, we will be talking about Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. I will learn how to pronounce it by the next episode. I forgot to look it up before recording this one, but by next episode, I will know how to pronounce it. Yes, so Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk, and it's 1999 adaptation Fight Club, starring Brad Pitt and Edward Norton. See you next time.